1, 2, 1, 2, that seems to be working.
Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Today, I'm talking about making room for fasting. No? Not a lot of excitement there. Not a lot of excitement. Don't worry, it's going to get worse in a minute. So we're going to be making room. And I got to be honest, I can't stand up here today and share this message with you if I don't be completely honest about the probably first acknowledging that as I was preparing this message for you today, what I realized is actually this is an area of big regret in my life. And so I just want to be honest and vulnerable with you right from the start that as I've been kind of preparing this message, I've realized that this has become a bit of an area of big regret in my life. Maybe you can relate to this too, but fasting hasn't been a big priority in my life. Fasting for me has been more of an occasional event that I don't really look forward to. I don't enjoy. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever had a fasting day where you're literally not eating for a day, it's like the sun stands still, the clocks stop, and it just seems to go on and on and on forever. And I'm just sat there thinking, God, when can I eat? Like, I just need to get some food in this belly. And so fasting has kind of been a bit of a difficult thing for me in the past. But kind of as I was studying for this message, what was clear to me, what's obvious to me, is throughout the whole of the Bible, throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New, is this idea that fasting is almost like God screaming at us. This idea of prayer and fasting was just part of everyday life for Christians. Fasting and prayer was just part of everything that God has for us. It was just part of their life. It was all part of an integral part of their faith and intimacy with Jesus. All the way through Scripture, you see people fasting and praying. Fasting, so many stories. I haven't got time to show you them all today, but all the way through, people would fast and they would pray, and it was an integral part of their faith in Jesus. This idea of prayer and fasting together is a really powerful combination. Prayer and fasting together, they pair together beautifully. Now, for those of you that know my wife, Anna, you know that she loves to cook. Her dad was a chef. Her mum is an excellent cook. Her sister is an excellent cook. Her brother-in-law's an excellent cook. Like, food in our house is a big deal, okay? If you're coming to our house, you're going to be fed well. We love food. And if any of them were up here today sharing with you an illustration of how certain foods that pair together, certain herbs, certain spices, they could give you some wonderful examples of how some foods are great alone, but when you pair them with these, oh, it's even better. Now they're not here, so all you're left with is me. So I thought of beans on toast. I'm right though, aren't I? Great alone, better together. Strawberries and cream, steak and chips. All foods that are great alone and better together. And this is really an illustration of prayer and fasting. They are powerful. They're brilliant on their own. But there is ultimate, greater satisfaction when you bring them together. And so as we think about fasting today, we're thinking of this idea, not of just fasting, but we're thinking of it as prayer and fasting. What a powerful combination they are for our lives. They are so good together. They belong together. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think of fasting. Any shout-outs? What do you think about when you think of fasting? You've got it wrong from the start. We're going to have to go. But yeah, right? Anybody else? Shacks? Huh? Hunger, yeah? What do you do when you fast? Bad breath, yeah? Giving stuff up? Like, Yeah, yeah. So there's all these ideas that come into your mind when you think of fasting. And what I want us to do today is I want us to just understand a bit of a mind shift when it comes to fasting, because I think my relationship with fasting in the past has really been about that idea of fasting is when you give something up, right? We probably all agree with that. Fasting is actually quite popular in society and culture today. Intermittent fasting, is that what they call it? It's all part of your fitness regime. Paul's on it. I can tell already. He's a guy who knows it. It's all part of that nutrition and diet and fasting. So that idea that we give something up is quite popular. But what I want to help you with today is a mind shift. Because fasting is not simply just about what you give up. Fasting is so much deeper and more profound than simply giving something up. Fasting is about getting something greater. And that's what I want you to understand today. That's the mind shift that we need to make. Fasting is so much deeper and far more profound than simply giving something up. It's about gaining something greater. Do you want to hear what Jesus says about it? He says this in John 6, verse 35. Thank you, Andy. Do you want to know what Jesus says about it? Right, because we don't want just my thoughts today, do we? Right? Let's see what Jesus says about it. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me, they will never be thirsty. Jesus, in this passage, is looking beyond our physical hunger, that giving up of food. He's looking beyond that, and he's looking to a bigger need in our lives. He's looking to a greater need. He is looking at the hunger of your souls. And he says, if you would come to me, your soul, the deepest longings of your heart will be satisfied fully in me. You will never hunger again. You will never thirst again. Jesus is saying, I am the only one who can truly satisfy your every need. I am the only one. Come to me. You will never be hungry again. I need some more of that in my life. Now, that's the kind of fasting I can get on board with. My mind's changing as I'm studying this idea of fasting. I'm thinking, God, yeah, that's the kind of fasting I need in my life. I need some more of that. I need, and to be honest, I think I've neglected the importance of fasting in my life. So if you feel anywhere, like if you're sat there and you're thinking you relate to me in that, it's okay. That's good. We're in this together, right? And we're just going to go on this little journey together this morning. You are not alone. This is being me and my story too. Another thing Jesus says about fasting, you find this actually in his famous Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this as he's preaching. I think it should be on the next slide for you. Jesus, oh no, that's a different thing. That's not Jesus, that's Jens Franklin. That's a different guy. If it's not up, that's fine, that's not a problem. I'll read it to you from here. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. For Jesus, fasting was a regular practice as part of the normal Christian experience. He didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. It was his assumption that we just fast. That's what we do as Christians. We fast. And when you do it, I want you to do it this way. I want your motive in fasting not to be about dieting, not to be about shredding a few pounds at the beginning of the year, not to be about anything else, but seeking me. Seeking my face. What's your motive in fasting? It's a private practice, he said. And he said that those that fast, there is a reward for you, a reward from God, a reward from heaven. And I think that reward is that never hungering again, that satisfying of your soul, the deepest needs of your heart and life. Now we can go to Jensen Franklin, who was up on the screen before. He said this about it: fasting is not a requirement, it is a choice. It's a vow you choose to make to pursue God on a deeper level. the entire time that you are on a fast, you are acknowledging God. That is the motive behind fasting, that we are seeking God. So I want to just get practical with you. That's kind of some of the heart behind fasting, but I want to give you a few practical things on this just to help us understand a little bit more about what fasting is. So I've given you a definition for fasting. I'll be on the screen for you as well. If you've got your notes, write this down. Fasting is a Christian's voluntary abstinence from something for a predetermined amount of time and for a spiritual purpose. That's what fasting is. It's a voluntary abstinence. You're giving something up. You are giving something up for a predetermined set of time that you decide, and it is for a spiritual purpose. You're not just doing it and sitting there watching the clock. There's a reason behind our fasting. So I just want to break some of these up for you. Firstly, let's look at that idea of abstaining from something. This idea of abstinence, I'm giving something up. There are three different types of fast that we read about in the Bible. There is one that we call the full fast. This is for the hardcore ones of you. This is I'm giving up all food. I am not going to eat anything for a predetermined amount of time for a spiritual purpose. I am not going to eat any food. We see that. That's the most common type of fast we see in the Bible. And in church today, many people will give up food and not eat anything for a predetermined amount of time for a spiritual purpose. The other one we see a lot of in the Bible is a partial fast. Now, this is a good example of this is in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 3, where Daniel says this. He says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This is an example of a partial fast. Daniel gave up meat and wine. He just ate fruit and veg, basically, for 3 weeks. 3 whole weeks. He gave up donuts, yeah, for 3 whole weeks. It was a partial fast. He didn't give up all food, but he just said, now, if you're already a vegetarian, don't think to yourself, oh, this is easy fasting. That's not the deal, right? But for him, he gave up something that was really difficult for him to give up. And he did it for 3 weeks. That's an example there of a partial fast. The other fast that we have in the Bible is an alternative fast. This is abstinence from something other than food. This is an alternative fast for a predetermined amount of time for a spiritual purpose. I'll give you an example of this one. Now, if you were already lost at fasting, you're definitely going to be lost at this one. 1 Corinthians 7:5. This is talking about marriage and married couples. Do not deprive each other. Kids in the room, close your ears. It's talking about sex, okay? This is sex now. We're talking about married relationship. It says, do not deprive each other of sex. Except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. This is an alternative fast. Who's up for it? A couple there. Whoa. Except they gave up something for a predetermined amount of time for a spiritual purpose. For a moment, we're just going to spend this time praying together. Now, it could be sex. It could be other things. It could be media. It could be screens. It could be social media. Things that have a hold on you. Maybe areas of your life where you lack self-control. Chocolate, alcohol, shopping. I'm going to give those things up. It's an alternative fast. I'm going to give them up for a predetermined period of time for a spiritual purpose. That's three examples of the types of fasting that we see in the Bible. That predetermined amount of time. How long should a fast be? How long should I fast for? Well, actually, in the Bible, we see lots of examples. We see people fasting for a night, a day, for part of a day, for one day, for 3 days, for 7 days, for 14 days, for 21 days, for 40 days. And there's also examples in the Bible where they don't actually specify the amount of time. But it's fasting for a period of time that you choose. Today, before you leave, somebody at Paul is going to be at the back door, at the front door there. As you leave, he's going to give you a journal, just a couple of sheets of paper. And on there are some things to help you engage with fasting in February. And on there, you can write down what it is you're going to fast and how long you want to fast it for. And we've broken it up into 4 weeks. In other words, you could fast different things each week. It doesn't have to be the same thing. So week one, you might say, I'm going to fast for one day. I'm going to do a full fast. I'm not going to eat anything for a day. And every time I feel hungry, I'm just going to take that as an opportunity to pray. Say, God, I need you. God, I want to be closer to you. Yeah? You may just say, I'm going to do a full fast for one day. You may then say, week two, I'm going to do a partial fast. So in week two, I'm not going to eat any vegetables. I'm only going to eat meat. That might, yeah, Cobus is up for that. A partial fast. Week three, you might decide you're going to do an alternative fast. I'm not going to have any sex for half a day. Or what? You choose. You choose your fast. But the idea is you can mix and match. Week four, you may say, do you know what? I'm not going to have any social media or screens between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. I'm just going to fast from that. And every time I feel like I want to pick up my phone, I'm just going to pray for a spiritual purpose. Fasting is abstinence from something for a predetermined amount of time for a spiritual purpose. So what are those purposes? What can we be fasting for? Because if we're not fasting for a spiritual purpose, then we're just having a diet. How many of you know God's not in heaven looking down at us going, well done, James. Look at him down there starving himself for nothing. Well done. Good job, James. Keep going. Keep going. If only everybody was like you. Well, God's not doing that. There needs to be a purpose behind our fasting. Otherwise, we're just starving ourselves. And there are lots of examples of this in the Bible, lots of purposes of why we can fast. I've just picked on a few of them to give you some ideas of different things you could be fasting for when you think about your spiritual purpose. The first one is this: fasting for clarity. Fasting for clarity. This is, I'm fasting because I want to discern God's will for my life in some way. Maybe you have a big decision coming up. Maybe you're thinking about university or college. Maybe it's a job. Maybe you're in a relationship. Maybe you're thinking about getting into a relationship. You know, you're thinking about whether to propose to somebody. All of these are big decisions, right? And these are good opportunities for us to go, okay, I've got a spiritual purpose here. God, I want to hear what you have to say about my life. What decisions should I make? And so I'm going to fast and pray, God, help me in making my decisions. There have been so many times in my life, and I'm sure there are people here today, and you go, do you know what? I just don't know what to do, God. I just don't know what to do about this. It's a great opportunity to fast and to pray. God, give me direction. I want to hear your voice. Help me to make a decision about my future. And I want to encourage you as you kind of pray about those things, as you fast about those things, every time you're hungry, it's like a reminder that you just need to stop, shut up, and listen. God, help me to hear you today on this. Help me to hear you in this area of my life. And what happens, because this happens sometimes, when you fast for clarity, you're seeking God for a direction in your life and you don't hear an answer. You don't get the answer you're looking for. You can't hear God. You say, he's gone blank on me. He's gone silent. What do you do then? I want to encourage you. Maybe in those moments, God's just saying, hey, take a step of faith. Because not every decision we make in our lives are decisions that we know about and we know the outcomes for. Sometimes God actually says we live by faith. Every step I take is a step of faith. And sometimes we just got to take a step of faith. But I'll tell you what happens when you're praying and fasting and you take a step, then you take a step of faith. It gives you so much more confidence. It fortifies your faith as you take that step, knowing that you have done everything that you can to align your will with God's in that decision. We're taking a step of faith fortified by prayer and fasting. So that's the first thing you could be praying about, a decision, clarity. The second one is fasting because of your sin. Some of you remember the story. If I tell you the story, if I say Jonah and the well, you know the story, right? You're thinking about Jonah who was swallowed up by a well and then he was spat out onto a beach. And you kind of probably remember that. If any of you were in Sunday school, you'll remember those stories of Jonah and the well. But really, that's not what the climax of the story is about. The climax of that story was that Jonah went to a wicked people in Nineveh to confront them of their wickedness. They were the Ninevites. And he went to confront them. And the Bible says, as he confronted them and as they heard about God's love and his grace, they repented, they changed of their ways, and they called a fast. And they began to pray before God, sorry for all that we've done. There's a verse here about this. Hopefully the next slide, Mike. It's not there. I will read it. Have I got it here? Here it is. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation that the king of Nineveh issued to his people after he heard Jonah's prophecy. This is what he said. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Their response to their sin was to fast. And we can also do that, fasting and praying because of our sin. It creates a hunger in our soul that says, God, I recognize that I need you to help me in this. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need you to come and restore me. God, I am desperate for you. God, I need your strength to help me run from my sin. God, I need you to help me follow you more closely, to walk in a deeper, closer relationship with you, a more intimate relationship with you. And maybe you're here today and you know that there's just sin in your life that's getting in the way between you and God. It's just clouding your vision. You're just not hearing from God. Maybe you just know it's there, maybe it's just some habit, some thing that happens in your life, and it's just getting in the way. Maybe this is an opportunity this February to just fast and pray. God, will you help me? I want to get closer to you. God, I want to see you more clearly. God, I want to know you so much closer. And so you fast and you repent. And you turn from your sin. And the Bible says that God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. That word humble in the Old Testament is also used as the word they use for fasting. It's linked. That idea of humility in prayer and humility in fasting. As I humble myself, as I fast, as I pray, God promises to come and heal your land. To come and restore you and heal you. And so we can fast from our sin. Joel 2:12 says, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. God's heart is for us to return to him, to allow the Holy Spirit to recondition our souls, to soften our hard hearts, that we might be in right relationship with God. We can fast for our sin. And lastly, the one I want to share with you as we close, band, you can come back up as well. I want to talk about fasting for a miracle. Fasting for breakthrough. We've been singing about breakthrough this morning. This idea that we can fast and pray for a miracle. I think one of the most significant and most supernatural moments in my life was quite a number of years ago now, where God did a miracle through me. And some of you have heard this story before, others of you won't, so I'll just share it with you quickly. But I spent a period of time over in America. And whilst we were in America, we were planning to go and share Jesus and share our faith with a load of students at an American football homecoming game. And so we arrive at the college for the homecoming game, and we're going to prepare to go and share Jesus with them. Before we went, we prayed, God, would you give us direction? Would you help us know who to pray for? Would you give us a picture of who it is that we are going to be praying for when we get there? And as we all prayed, I shared a picture. I said, hey guys, I think God's just given me a picture of a young guy wearing a red hat who would be underneath a tree and he'll be arguing with his girlfriend. That's the couple God wants us to pray for. Now, how many of you know that's pretty scary? Because that I saw that. I saw it in my head as clear as day. That's who God wants us to pray for. And we went to the homecoming game, and not a lot was happening. We were walking around, and nothing was really going on. And just before we left, me and the girl that I was with, we said, should we just go around the back of the school, see if anything's happening there? And as we went around the back of the school, this is not a lie, hand on heart, absolute truth, there's a young guy with a red hat under a tree, and he's arguing with his girlfriend. And me and the girl looked at each other, we went, that's what you saw. And we ran over to them, and we were able to intervene. It turns out that this young couple, they used to be part of the youth group of the church that we were serving at, and they had backslidden, they'd lost their faith. And as we intervened, we were able to pray for them, and we were able to lead them back to the church. It was the most supernatural moment I think I've ever experienced in my life. To see something I couldn't have possibly known myself. God implanted this vision in me. And for then that to happen was powerful. But see, it wasn't just about praying. What I didn't tell you was before we prayed for that night, I did a 48-hour full fast. No food. 48 hours killed me. But there's something about fasting and prayer. And when you put them together, God can speak to you more clearly. You can begin to see things you couldn't see before. God can begin to speak things into your heart that you could never know. God can be intimate with you in a way that you have never experienced before. And so whilst fasting has not been a big part of my life, the times that it has, I can hand on heart say it's been powerful. God wants to be more intimate with you. He wants you to know him more. And so really today has been about encouraging you to think about how you could fast in February. And so there's a couple of things we're doing. We're going to give you the fasting journals as you leave this morning. Take it away, and I want you to pray about it. Before you start fasting tomorrow, tonight, take a moment to say, God, what do you want me to fast for? What's my spiritual purpose? Pick a predetermined amount of time. You've got your reason, and choose what it is you're going to fast from. And you can break it up each week. That's fine. And fast something for a reason. And pray and believe that God's going to speak to you. Pray that by the end of February, you're going to be closer to God than you've ever felt before. God's going to do a breakthrough in your life. I believe that. And to support you as well, we're just going to, something else we're going to do over this month. Every Monday, there is going to be, of February, there's going to be a 7 o'clock prayer meeting on Zoom. If you'd like to join me in my morning prayer at 7 o'clock, it'll only be like 15 minutes. It won't be long. But if you want to join me, or one of the leadership team, we're going to be praying at 7 o'clock every Monday morning. Every Tuesday, dinner time, on your lunch break. If you can't make a morning, if you're not an early bird, but you can make a lunch break, join us on a Tuesday. We're just going to take some time to pray together. and on a Wednesday, 8 p.m. For those of you that didn't wake up and then realized you were running late, so we're working too busy all day, couldn't make the lunch, there's one for you in the evening, 8 p.m. 15-minute call. We're just going to pray together on Zoom. So these are just a few ways in which we can support your month of fasting as we pray together and as we believe together that God is going to do a breakthrough in our lives. When you stand to your feet, the band are going to close us out with a song. Father God, I just pray this morning, God, this month, as we take this month to get closer to you, as we fast and as we pray, Lord, I pray that you would come near to us. As we draw near to you, that you would draw near to us, that we would know you more deeply and more profoundly than we ever have before, that we wouldn't just understand fasting as something that we're giving up, but it's something that we are gaining, something so much greater, which is your presence, the reward of devotion to you. So help us this month as we fast. I pray for testimonies and stories of breakthrough. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.